Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of April 12, 2024. This week we pray for those who mourn, for those who struggle with health problems and any kind of illness, for those with cancer, and for those who are rehabilitating. We pray to God for health of the body, mind, and soul. Our first reading is from Acts chapter 3. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." Our next reading is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous." And our next reading is from Luke chapter 24. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had realized this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This concludes the reading from Luke chapter 24. The next part here is a reading from Leviticus chapter 15 and the discussion to follow. The Bible is certainly God's word and covers all aspects of life, but today's topic may not be something you want to share with younger listeners yet, so this is a heads up. You may want to listen to this first before you decide to share this with younger listeners. This is Leviticus 15. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'When any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. And this is the law of his uncleanness for a discharge. Whether his body runs with this discharge or his body is blocked up by his discharge, it is his uncleanness. Every bed on which the one with the discharge lies shall be unclean, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And anyone who touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whoever sits on anything on which the one with the discharge has sat shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches the body of the one with the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And if the one with the discharge spits on someone who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And any saddle on which the one with the discharge rides shall be unclean, and whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until the evening, and whoever carries such things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Anyone whom the one with the discharge touches without having rinsed his hands in water shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And an earthenware vessel that the one with the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when the one with the discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing and wash his clothes. And he shall bathe his body in fresh water and shall be clean. And on the 8th day, he shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons and come before the Lord to the entrance of the tent of meeting and give them to the priest. And the priest shall use them, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord for his discharge. If a man has an emission of semen, he shall bathe his whole body in water and be unclean until the evening. And every garment and every skin on which the semen comes shall be washed with water and be unclean until the evening. If a man lies with a woman and has an emission of semen, both of them shall bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening. When a woman has a discharge, and the discharge in her body is blood, she shall be in her menstrual impurity for 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything on which she lies during her menstrual impurity shall be unclean. Everything also on which she sits shall be unclean, and whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whoever touches anything on which she sits shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening, whether it is the bed or anything on which she sits. When he touches it, he shall be unclean until the evening. And if any man lies with her, and her menstrual impurity comes upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she shall continue in uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge, shall be to her as the bed of her impurity, and everything on which she sits shall be unclean, as in the uncleanness of her menstrual impurity. And whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day, she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons and bring them to the priest, to the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the priest shall use one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for her unclean discharge. Thus you shall keep the people of Israel separate from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by defiling my tabernacle that is in their midst. This is the law for him who has a discharge and for him who has an emission of semen, becoming unclean thereby. Also for her who is unwell with her menstrual impurity, that is for anyone, male or female, who has a discharge, and for the man who lies with a woman who is unclean. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. One of the science classes that I took in college involved studying the implications of things like biological weapons and certain pathologies, diseases that affect the nervous system. Happy stuff, I know. But what you come to understand is that biological organisms, including people, secrete and excrete. These are biological processes, effects that result from what is happening with the neurotransmitters in your body. Your body is designed so that chemicals tell your muscles and tissues what to do. I'm speaking of this in a very simplistic way. A neurotransmitter, according to the Apple Dictionary, is a chemical substance released at the end of a nerve fiber by the arrival of a nerve impulse, and by diffusing across the synapse or junction, causes the transfer of the impulse to another nerve fiber, a muscle fiber, or some other structure. In other words, the nerve fibers release chemicals, there's a little space between them, and on the next nerve fiber, they have receptors that receive those chemicals. It's kind of like a relay race where the baton is being passed from one runner to another, and those chemicals signal the body what to do in various parts of the body. Some chemicals in our environment can adversely affect biological mechanisms, causing the neurotransmitters to transmit uncontrollably, leading to severe reactions and even death. Neurotransmitters chemically are what tell your body what to do. In an article from Healthline written by Christine Case Lowe, she describes how serotonin is a neurotransmitter that affects gut function. It describes how fast food moves through your system, how much fluid like mucus is secreted in your intestines, and how sensitive your intestines are to sensations of pain and fullness. Biological organisms secrete and excrete. Our noses secrete mucus, and since some people secrete more, perhaps because of allergies, we need to do things like blow our noses. An injured body can secrete discharges. I'm going to describe this in the mildest possible way, as some people may be squeamish. Probably most everyone has had a blister. If you have ever gone for a run, you might have a place on the foot where the socks have rubbed the skin raw, and it causes an area to retain fluid. The fluid stretches out the skin in that spot, and a blister can develop, and that blister can pop, releasing that fluid. Injuries like this can become infected with bacteria, and when the bacteria gets into a wound, that can cause pus, which can be yellowish or greenish, and this needs to be cleaned and treated. This kind of injury may require the help of a medical professional. I'm trying to describe these things as accurately as I can here for the sake of moving into and discussing Leviticus chapter 15. A really bad infection in this day and age could lead to an amputation. Almost a few hundred years ago, now, amputation was nearly a ubiquitous feature of Civil War medicine. In an article from the American Battlefield Trust, called Civil War Medicine by Ina Dixon, it is pointed out that of the 620,000 who were said to have died in that war, 2/3 of the deaths were the result of disease. In a short film on amputations from the American Battlefield Trust, Jake Wynn points out that their bullets were generally large, weighing between a half ounce and an ounce. These bullets would crush bones. That's how they did their damage. In another short video from the Trust, historian George Wunderlich pointed out that Civil War treatment preceded our understanding of germ theory. Their understanding was that there were poisons in the system that had to be counteracted by other chemicals. But an amputation was done much sooner than we would even consider that course of action in our day and age. Battlefield conditions were very dirty, and when a soldier received a wound, bones would be crushed, and other foreign material would get into the wounds, without things like x-rays, and without antibiotics and other antiseptic treatments, proper cleaning of wounds, they didn't have the ability, first of all, to take out bone fragments, and lacking germ theory, they knew that such wounds could be deadly, seeing the results of infections like gangrene, but they probably didn't fully understand why. Amputation, therefore, was the best way to save a life before infection could even set in. It was also the quickest way to treat a person and move on to the next patient, and thus save more lives. Many men returned home simply because they had an amputation, not in spite of it. It was the best way to save a life. Of course, God knows everything, and the sections in Leviticus 15 talking about discharges are talking about practical ways of preventing the spread of various kinds of infections, whether by disease or by bacteria. For example, in verse 4, every bed on which the one with the discharge lies shall be unclean, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. This would be very similar to the need for regularly changing dressings on wounds to prevent infection. Bathing in water also allows a person to wash away infection. In essence, separating unclean people from the general population protected others from disease as well. Those who had discharges and those who touched them being unclean, that had practical implications. However, making a sacrifice for these various uncleannesses, as described in verses 14 and 15, a sacrifice of a turtle dove or pigeon for the sin offering and another for the burnt offering, served to cleanse away spiritual uncleanness. In regards to bathing after intimacy between a man and a woman, there are practical hygiene considerations and spiritual considerations in regarding a person as unclean. For both the man and the woman, they were to bathe and remain unclean until evening. For the feminine discharge of blood, uncleanness lasted for 7 days, and on the 8th day, a sin offering and a burnt offering was made of 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. This was to make atonement for uncleanness. Verse 31 summarizes this. Thus, you shall keep the people of Israel separate from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by defiling my tabernacle that is in their midst. To the modern mind, it may seem a stringent requirement for dealing with what are part of our biological and reproductive processes, but there is more going on here. A person must be made not only clean on the outside, but clean on the inside, clean spiritually. Just in regards to the sections on infection at the beginning of the chapter, when we see an infection, I think we naturally get a sense that that is unclean, that it is not healthy, that a wound requires cleaning and careful treatment. In the perfect world, there are not wounds. No treatment is required. But wounds and mortality are signs of fallenness. In regards to the reproductive act and the processes involved, consider Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Reproduction is certainly blessed by God in marriage, but nevertheless, reproduction produces another fallen human being. Please understand, life is precious, but we are nevertheless fallen. It is only God who can make us right with Himself. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke describe a particular incident where a woman who had had a discharge for 12 years came to be healed by Jesus. From Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 20, "And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, 'If I only touch his garment, I will be made well.' Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, 'Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well.' And instantly the woman was made well." In one of our pastor's meetings, we had the opportunity to discuss this particular lesson, and Pastor Phil Meyer pointed out that this woman had been excluded from community life, from worship, because of this issue. 12 years excluded from the worship community. Just as it said in verse 31 of Leviticus chapter 15, "Thus you shall keep the people of Israel separate from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by defiling my tabernacle that is in their midst." In trying to keep the law, the significance of her problem was that it kept her out of worship life. It is in worship that we are forgiven our sins. And this issue was a biological one, something that she did not cause for herself, something that she could not help, but which nevertheless kept her out of worship. Jesus made the woman well, both physically and spiritually. Note too, that Jesus was conceived differently from the rest of us. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 51, verse 5? "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Jesus is not conceived in the biological way that the rest of humanity is conceived. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He is not born to be fallen like the rest of humanity. He is sinless and without sin. In his sermon at the Pentecost, in Acts 2, Peter said, "Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." Think of that. Though Jesus died, his flesh did not see corruption. Again, no uncleanness there. And then, of course, he was raised from the dead. The requirements for cleanness are quite strict. I'm going to make an analogy here. I like guitars and am interested in guitars and musical instruments. There's a site called Reverb.com where a person can look at instruments that are new or have been used. There are different categories for those instruments. Their condition: a non-functioning instrument requires fixing before it is playable. Poor quality instruments have some function but require repair. Fair quality instruments may have many imperfections but minor functional issues. Good instruments mean they work, but have cosmetic imperfections. Very good may have some dents. Excellent means they are great functionally, but may have some minor wear, such as a small scuff or a scratch on the back. Mint means an instrument is blemish-free, but has been taken out of the box and played. And new means that they are completely functional, have no blemishes, and have not been taken out of the box or played, and are still covered by warranty. As soon as you take that instrument out of the box and play it, you can lose a few hundred dollars in value. In fact, mint quality instruments can be sold for hundreds of dollars less. In our fallen state, we are not like that brand new kind of thing. Free of blemishes, completely new and perfect. We require redemption, payment for sin, and someone has to take our place. In the Old Testament, they paid for their sins and uncleanness with sacrifices. Under the New Covenant, which is not the law, Christ has paid for our sins and uncleanness. He has paid for our blemishes. He did that on the cross, taking away our sins. He makes it possible for us to be reunited with our Heavenly Father, to not be separated from Him. He takes away the sin that defiles and blemishes us. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I ask this day and always that you'd forgive all my sins and cleanse me from all uncleanness. This day I remember the baptism in which I have been washed and by which you restore me. I recall the forgiveness that you give through your body and blood in the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness you give me in absolution that I might stand before you. Thank you, Lord, for your gifts and for the salvation which you freely give. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for all who are mourning. Even in the midst of this time when we remember the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, we know that there are those who look forward to the resurrection, who mourn for loved ones who have gone before them. Comfort them and help them to remember the promises that you give us in your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with health problems and any kind of illness, for those with cancer, for those who are rehabilitating. We pray that you'd restore them and heal them. We look to you for this healing. Let your healing hand be upon them. Your Son is the author of life. We pray to you for health of body, mind, and soul. Restore us in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verses this week are a little section from Luke chapter 24, where Jesus says, starting at verse 38, "And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them." All of our verses, all of our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Holy, 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 Lord. Shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. ICC. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee. Perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful.